In this program, we interview Chris Daly. Now, Chris is an executive chef who was educated at the Culinary Institute of America, and since then has worked in some of the country's most prestigious restaurants, from Los Angeles right the way across to New York. But 11 years ago, Chris took his love of creating fine food and combined it with his concern for our country's kids. And he set up a non-profit organization called Hip for Kids. This is a non-profit company that's designed to teach children and their parents about healthy eating in order to help them help themselves combat things like childhood obesity, so they can avoid the things that often go with that, such as type 2 diabetes. Since it was started, Hip for Kids has educated over 200,000 children and their parents right the way across the country. So let's join Chris and Alan in the studio now and find out what makes this talented chef give so much of his time to children who really do need to know about what good food is all about.
Good morning, Chef Chris. Welcome to the Local Paleo Show.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure and honor to have such a chef like you. As a fellow chef, I wanted to have you on and tell everybody out there about the great work you're doing.
And well, thank you so much.
So people know, you and I have known each other for a while, and I also write articles for your magazine, the Hips for Kids magazine.
Hips for Today. Kids Today. Yeah, which right. Our new issue actually is just up as of last night. Hip for Kids Today, the magazine on hipforkids.org, features Alan Susser on the cover this month, which we're very, very proud of course. Alan Susser, you know, one of the preeminent architects, if you will, of American cuisine as we know it today. He is Miami-based. But, of course, your original content is published in there as well. And we thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Before we get started in the hardcore question, can you tell us a little more about your professional background and how you got where you are now?
I have been cooking for close to 30 years. I started out in Hudson Valley, upstate New York, long ago, long before, you know, a real revolution in American cooking had started. I had a great passion for food always, which I attribute to my mother being able to cook incredibly good seasonal food. Of course, we always had a garden, but at a very young age, I had started out in some local restaurants, and it matriculated into this lifelong passion where I had attended Culinary Institute of America and just kept seeing all of these opportunities unfold, which led to living and working in California for a number of years with Thomas Keller, continuing on doing stages in Europe and Paris, in particular with you know, phenomenal chefs like Pierre Gagnaire and you know, Philippe Contacini. But I've been here in New York for quite some time, although I have traveled offshore on occasion. And really have been pursuing what I call contemporary American food that's based on French and Italian classical techniques, and just have had a very fortunate run here, both with critics and with patrons alike.
So are you currently working for a restaurant, or are you working only on your classes and teaching for the foundation?
No, I work continually as a restaurant consultant. I'm actually helping with a wine bar bistro, which is in New Rochelle, New York. That is part of a group of bistros and restaurants owned by a couple of gentlemen here locally. They also own wine stores, and what I did was to develop this bistro concept with them and for them, that ties every wine in the shop to availability in the bistro. So if you can imagine all of these, an extensive array of boutique wines available nightly with a farm-to-table concept, a very small, tight-focused menu, which is drawing, you know, all of the ingredients, when possible, only from local farms here.
That sounds fantastic. So you're a busy man. You also started Hip for Kids Foundation Can you tell us about the good work you do there and what you're trying to accomplish?
Yes, well, HIP for Kids, which is an acronym for Hospitality Industry Professionals for Kids. I had actually started that more than 15 years ago. Was the first time the pen hit the paper for the business plan for this idea to teach children about healthy eating to combat childhood obesity. The situation is that fast forward to today, with a combination of 8 different public programs that we have offered over the years, between community partners such as Children's Aid Society, New York City Department of Parks and Recreation, New York City Schools, the Governor's Office, between that and our online curriculum in the tri-state area and across the country, we've managed to deliver materials and educational experiences to a little over 200,000 children.
Wow, that's impressive. I understand you're trying to fight type 2 diabetes and obesity in children. How do you do that?
Basically, connecting children to very healthy food sources, which, you know, it has always been a point of interest, I guess you could say, or something that, you know, people are not aware of, that with regards to any socioeconomic bracket, children in general today, unfortunately, do not have an overview of, A, where their food comes from, B, the seasonality of that food and, you know, what it is in particular, and then C, that the cooking methods that are required to do very simple, healthy foods are very, very basic, that anyone can really master. We focused on a middle-aged group for the past several years, where we had started the precursor of our current project, Project Apple, and had proved this in a middle school setting where the skills are transferable. So if we teach any young man or young lady how to do these very simple basic recipes, where to access the food, and emphasize that these foods are very, very affordable, that they can transfer these skills to the home and teach other people. It's really not a mystery to be able to take, you know, some very simple seasonal ingredients and turn them into, you know, very, you know, healthy, very fulfilling, satisfying meals. And of course, you know, part of the project is to, you know, illuminate for people or illustrate that this can all be done affordably. And of course, in New York, it's been a little extra boost in the tri-state area, and particularly in the 5 boroughs, because they now accept EBT in a lot of the farm markets, which are essentially food stamps, for lack of better words. So even very low-income people can afford these excellent foodstuffs right off the farm. The only thing that tends to be missing that we've found is what we've been saying for about 12 or 13 years is a lack of culinary knowledge.
Right, right. I see that a lot. A lot of people that do not know how to cook think that cooking fresh food requires this tremendous amount of skills. And I have constantly to remind people that cooking basic fresh food is not that difficult. So I'm curious, do you also, part of that program, do you also teach low-carb and paleo recipes?
We do, in general, especially with regards to what we did in the middle schools. There was, as you know, of course, a lot of the situation with the carbs that are, you know, particularly unhealthy, eliminating those is not really an issue. You know, so these very basic farm-to-table recipes, we will call them, you know, that we have done in the middle school setting when we did this pilot for Project Apple that was combined with a curriculum key that I had written and basically collaborated with New York City teachers on, you know, illustrates, you know, something that is very, very flexible and, depending on any health need, you know, can be adjusted to any scenario that you can think of. And we're not only proud of that, of course, that we could do a low-carb or a paleo type of recipe, but we can switch the ethnicity of the dish any way that we choose to. A big part of the exposure, because it's culinary-based, that we try to relate to the kids is that, you know, look outside your view, if it's limited, you only really have yourself to blame. I tell, you know, the kids when I, you know, teach the classes, one of my fondest memories is a French chef that I worked with in Los Angeles years ago, and he was fluent in four languages, and I said, this is, you know, just phenomenal that you can communicate with everyone in their language. And he said, well, of course, you know, this is the way to go. I realized early on that I could either be a horse with blinders or take the blinders off. So as you can imagine, if you apply that to the world of culinary, that small lesson, if you will, that opens up the world to a great amount of diversity.
Absolutely. And what I find very interesting is that you're also teaching kids the basic skills on how to handle food and maybe lead them to your professional career in the future, right?
Well, if there is an interest, we don't necessarily emphasize that. One of the founding principles of HIP for Kids was that if you can, you know, take command of that part of your life and you can eat a more healthy diet and just really focus on better options for yourself, that you will perform better in school. That's one of the, you know, the founding, one of the building blocks, if you will, or of the cornerstone. You know, the whole situation is that we don't urge necessarily culinary careers, but to eat well, to do well, to live better lives, certainly. You know, it's just age-old wisdom, right, that I guess you could say IBM synthesized in the late 60s with their garbage in, garbage out quote that they had coined.
Yes. Can you tell us what kind of different teaching programs you offer to, like, your community?
Yes. Well, right now we're doing our summer programming. It's just about to start up. We'll be working with Play Streets, and if, you know, your listeners can, you know, visit the website, hipforkids.org. We have GoFundMe as an option there. In any event, Play Streets is working throughout the five boroughs, providing safe play zones for children over the course of the summer. And what HIP for Kids will do is supply a nutritional-based culinary lesson and snack for the kids when they take a break from their play. We'll also be doing the farmer's market in a couple of Westchester locations. But we're really taking the summer to also try to reassert and organize and get Project Apple off the ground, which, of course, the physical on-the-ground pilot has already been proven 3 years in a row in New York City schools in District 4 in Harlem. We had reckoned that some of the best impact that we had ever with HIP for Kids was delivering our curriculum online, particularly when we were the official curriculum of Healthy Steps to Albany through the First Lady of the State of New York, going back several years. But we also had end users when our curriculum was publishing and updating monthly on hipforkids.org that were as far away as Hawaii, Singapore, and Guam. So, you know, it gives you a good indication, I guess you could say, of the reach. No need to explain the reach of the Internet nowadays.
Wow. Yeah, so that was my next question. So I was wondering, do you go to schools to teach, or do you have your own kitchen where you record the classes and then put it out on the internet?
We do eight separate programs, which are listed out on hipforkids.org. The pilot, again, of Project Apple that we ran 3 years with New York City schools, we came on a very, very interesting model. If I do say so myself, we finally gained the cooperation of school foods here in New York and their supervisors, where we would go to the middle schools and use their kitchens. So without giving away too much of the intellectual property that is Project Apple, essentially it's a four-part after-school course that keeps the kids off the streets, and basically the last component of that is an hour-long cooking lesson, where the kids not only get the recipe and learn how to execute it, but they eat the recipe as they've put it together in groups of 4 to 6 maximum. And we did our last year at MS-45 was an extraordinary year. We delivered all of this programming. It was a total cost of a little over $1.31 per child, doing classes for basically 100 kids 3 times a week.
That sounds fantastic. I wish they had something similar to that in Austin. Maybe if you can teach me how you do it, maybe I can try something here in Austin.
Right. Well, so, I had done some work in Austin, and you might see archived, you know, an example of that on Channel 8. I had been consulting with Robert Gadsby for Omni Hotels for quite some time years back, and actually had an opportunity to speak to the governor's office. This is going back to, I'm going to say, probably 2006. But the governor's office actually called me at Omni Hotel Austin, down would have been 8th Street, but 8th and San Jacinto, to be exact. But I had basically been going over a lot of, you know, what Hip for Kids had done at that point, and really just, you know, emphasizing to the governor and his people that without educating young people and their parents about this situation and the evolving problem and growing problem of the obesity epidemic, as we called it, that it was going to relate to, you know, a fiscal debacle for the country. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of follow-up, but in short, the idea for Project Apple is to raise funds so that any teacher in the country will be able to replicate exactly what it is that we've perfected with District 4 here. That is Project Apple in a nutshell. It's a four-part series any teacher in the country will be able to subscribe to, and with a buying log and a four-part tutorial, they will have the materials to download and conduct Hip for Kids classes anywhere in the world. My hope is actually to have that available in 3 languages eventually, which of course would be English, Spanish, and Chinese.
Wow, that's impressive. So you've been very busy, I can hear. Do you also offer a healthy cooking class to the general public?
We really, only for the farmers market, touch the general public with cooking classes. There, you know, have been huge fairs that we have done, especially sponsored by Emblem Health in particular, where, yes, the short answer is yes, where we have done, you know, 3- and 5-day-long festivals here in New York with the Parks Department and or Emblem Health, where on any single given day there could be as many as 3,000 people that pass by for a tasting and a recipe. So we, you know, have had tremendous reach in spite of the fact that we are very, very modestly funded, to say the least.
Right, right. Speaking of funding, I hear that you are selling yummy cookies. Can you tell us more about the? Can you tell us about the Hip for Kids cookies?
Yes. Basically, a number of years ago, when you know it became apparent that grants and donations would not be enough, you know, to subsidize all of our public operations, I began a project which developed into Hip Snacks, which is, you know, a very forward-looking project, if I do say so myself. It's all based on functional foods. Our first items that we have out are Hip Snacks cookies. They come in vegan, gluten-free, and a regular type of format, if you will, at present. They're in Whole Foods here locally, and we're, you know, getting them in nationwide with Whole Foods. In probably about another 30, 40 stores in general, in New York City in particular. But the real, I guess you could say, special point of the cookies is that these are not regular cookies per se. They're all filled with chia seed. They're totally organic, kosher cookies, which, you know, some people might say, you know, why a cookie? But I founded Hip Snacks and Hip World Foods as a Paul Newman company type of model, So basically the situation is that the people that do all the legal for Hip for Kids pro bono assembled a model and researched the Paul Newman Company to see exactly how it worked. It took them the better part of a year, but the funds that flow to the cookie purchases or from the cookie purchases go directly to Hip for Kids to, you know, fund our programs. And we just really started to unveil a comprehensive project or product line would have been last Black Friday, as they call it in American shopping parlance, which, you know, is just a little bit, you know, after Thanksgiving. It's the Friday after Thanksgiving. So, you know, we really are a bit new. We had been selling the cookie online in its original format, which were single chocolate Hip cookies. That cookie appeared, well, backtrack just a bit. We did our first 5,000 units for Dr. Oz, and he said, wow, these are, you know, really extraordinary, thank you. And one of the people in his group said, you should try to sell these. So we, you know, basically created an online presence at hipsnacks.com. And Rachel Ray picked up on this, and we were featured on Rachel Ray. And this all morphed into what is now this ongoing effort to create an entire product line that's based around functional foods, which, you know, not many people mainstream are, you know, familiar with. But, you know, we've been cooking with chia and another 12, you know, functional foods, if you will, for, you know, 8 to 10 years. So, you know, there are probably close to 200 recipes that I've created, everything from drinks, if you will, dairy products, you know, breads, you know, just an extensive array of recipes all based on, you know, value-added functional foods that look like, you know, mainstream items but have a real nutritious functionality to them.
Right. For our listeners, can you explain what functional food is?
Functional food is something that is made with, for lack of better words, to, you know, simplify it for the listeners, something as simple as our cookie is constructed with chia, which is a superfood, or so named, that is extremely, it's basically the highest omega-3 source on the planet, extremely high amino acids, antioxidants, calcium, magnesium, iron. It's basically, for lack of better words, chia is the most nutritious food on the planet. What we do is we put it into a gourmet cookie recipe, if you will, and it displaces quite a bit of the flour and the fat. The item tastes like a gourmet cookie, but with a lot of calorie reduction, fat reduction, and the added value of all of these qualities and nutritional you know, aspects that are inherent in the chia. So it's a cookie that is unlike no other food. It's just, actually, it's the only gourmet chia cookie in the United States presently. But, you know, at Natural Foods Expo in Anaheim this past spring, even that community became acutely aware of chia and putting it into regular food products. It's just a, I hesitate to say, a novel way to deliver, you know, heavy doses of nutrition, but it's a unique way.
Right. And, you know, of course, people like us in the nutrition side of business, we take for granted that chia food is a great, you know, healthy food full of vitamin, omega-3s, and fiber. But the general public typically is not aware of that. So thank you for exposing everybody to that.
Yes. Yeah, my pleasure. It's, you know, something, you know, of course, it's a challenge for, you know, anyone at this point in any of the food segment. But, you know, again, you know, people would say, well, why a cookie? But that was our simplest means of egress into developing more foods that are, you know, going to be more mainstream, if you will, and deliver even more nutrition. It's, you know, a hope that I have that Hip World Foods will grow into something akin to, like I say, the Paul Newman Company. Hopefully that doesn't sound like hyperbole, but right, all of that funding would flow, of course, to Hip for Kids. And it's just a, you know, a continual circle of teaching people how to eat better and more healthy, really trying to get them away from typical processed goods that are filled with GMOs, chemicals, high fructose corn syrup, things that are just absolutely destroying not only the American public's health, but the health of people worldwide.
Yeah, absolutely. How can we and our listeners help support your foundation?
Well, you know, again, there are two forms of support, if not more, on hip4kids.org. There is the root funding button that we have for Project Apple, and then we have GoFundMe, which is a button that was just added in an attempt to fund our summer programs. I just had spoken with Bill Reed, who is one of the lawyers at Wilkie Farr Gallagher LLP here in New York. They've been doing pro bono for Hip for Kids for many, many years, about 12 years, I think, now. But one of the top-flight legal firms in the world, and they assist us free of charge. He was laughing at me. He's actually now works right-hand with Michael Bloomberg, directing his intellectual property at Bloomberg LLP, but continues to help Hip for Kids. And essentially, he was laughing at me. I said, well, you know, we really haven't raised much on GoFundMe, but I don't think that's really going to stop us from delivering the public programming. And he kind of laughed, and he said, no, nothing ever does seem to stop you. So, you know, whether we have funds or not, we always find a way to deliver the programming through community partners. I've been working as a chef for many years in New York City, and so purveyors are always very, very good about donating, you know, goods for, you know, doing the demos for the public spaces like the, you know, the health fairs that we have done and are doing, and the farmers markets. So it's, you know, the proverbial plight of every little not-for-profit. There's, you know, very little money, but we always deliver on our mission.
Right. Sounds you're accomplishing an enormous amount of work for that little, you know, support. And of course, we can buy you cookies to help support your project.
You can do that too. Yes. Yeah. They're available. Yeah. They're shipped anywhere in continental United States. If your listeners go to hipsnacks.com, that's HIPSNACKS.com, and they'll see the direct affiliation to Hip for Kids. The two sites are, of course, linked. Hip Snacks were created to fund Hip for Kids. And we call that the sweetest way to support children's education.
And in what stores can we find your snacks?
Well, currently we're here local in New York at Whole Foods, Calista Superfoods. To get the product across the United States, we're working on that now. But to get the product across the United States, really the best venue, if you will, is to really try to see if you can order online. There's also a way for people to visit hipforkids.org and receive gift packs of the cookies, which the purchase price may seem eye-popping, but the cookies are meant there as a gift for, you know, corporate picnics and, you know, corporate giving, etc. The purchase price of the cookie is actually a tax donation if you buy it that way through Hip for Kids.
What was it that got you into sort of the paleo, low-carb type of living and eating?
I really have to focus on that, you know, very strongly now. And to be honest with you, one of the main problems that I have had this past winter, they say if you live in New York City long enough, you develop asthma or, you know, allergies or breathing problems. And unfortunately, I was very sick with respiratory this past winter. I was put on, by one physician, a drug called prednisone, which led to a tremendous weight gain for me in a very short period of time. So actually, with the help of Alain, Chef Brau is actually going to try to guide me through this paleo, which I've been, you know, picking up the recipes piecemeal at this point, but have just really started. So I'm thinking in 2 months or less, when we do another interview, you'll be talking to a new man.
Yeah, okay, you're fairly new then, really, to this low-carb and paleo way of eating and living.
Yes, well, a lot of the carbs, again, too, that, you know, especially in the past, I had been, you know, what they refer to here locally as a super runner. You know, I had for many, many years averaged somewhere in the range of, you know, 55, 60 miles a week running. You know, one thing that I think is important for people to know a lot of times is, you know, that it there seems to be a lot of carb confusion. You know, the paleo, the extraordinary part of that, and the simple message that that delivers, in my opinion, is that it's really kind of exercising out all of the refined things that are, you know, just carbs that you don't need, as opposed to, you know, getting essential carbs that might be delivered through whole vegetable sources, for instance.
Where do you see yourself, you personally, in 5 years' time, with the point of view of sort of health and seeing your goals met?
In 5 years' time, my plan is to be as fit as I was when I was 35, 40 years old, when I was still, you know, a super runner, if you will. I have had, you know, to stop running for the most part because of, you know, damage that I did to my knees over the years by maybe running in excess. But it, you know, with a healthy diet, with changing my venue of exercise to swimming and biking, and just really kind of sticking with, you know, a healthy eating plan, it's, you know, I don't want to simplify it, but it's like falling off of a log to take care of yourself the right way. And, of course, it all boils down to ounce of prevention, right? So especially with something like paleo, where you're eliminating all of these refined sources and things of this nature, which we don't know what is in half of this stuff with, you know, the refined companies, especially in the U.S., deploying all these foods with GMO. You know, basically, you know, a paleo method and following that and just really concentrating on some really, you know, great simple food, not only an economic, great economic model, but a great health model. And then, of course, keeping active, you know, and burning more than you take in. It's just, again, not to simplify it, but it is a fairly simple equation to live a healthy lifestyle.
If you were given a blank check by someone who's very rich, and they said, this is for your foundation, what would you like to see happen at the end of 5 years?
The whole emphasis right now, as I mentioned, is on Project Apple. And with a blank check, per se, we have all of the talent pool, if you will, that is in place to construct Project Apple, and not only the content, but the viability of having delivered it to the New York City school system in particular, and having delivered a program that really works not only to keep kids off the street, but educates them. And of course, we have been doing that after-school program for many years in the middle school, where it's been essentially STEMS-based before STEMS-based programs became the emphasis. We've always linked the four-part series of our after-school to reading, writing, and arithmetic, the CFES and ESL, which are College for Every Student, and English second language programs that we do with New York City schools. When the kids attend those middle school programs, we're not only keeping them off the streets, but it also contributes to their bottom line grade point average. We're talking about kids off the street, eating and taking care of themselves much, much better than before, and sticking to their guns in school. So a blank check, again, would enable us to put Project Apple in absolutely full force. As I said, all the content is there. Our curriculum writer that co-writes with me, Denise Yuspa Hidalgo, has over 30 credits with Scholastic Books, for instance, has worked with PBS extensively. I just talked to an NYU film director yesterday, trying to beg him to do the first film parts of Project Apple on contingency. This is a guy with a resume that's second to none in educational TV. You know, so Hip for Kids has, you know, a wide, wide net cast, if you will, with regards to the talent that we have pulled in over the years. But again, like any not-for-profit company, we are very minimally funded, to say the least. And of course, that is all completely transparent. Anyone in the world can see our financial records through New York State Attorney General, which is required by law.
Excellent, excellent. So it looks like the next 5 years are going to be quite exciting for you, with or without a blank check.
Right. Well, it always is. It's like going back to Bill Reed from Bloomberg, who laughed at me last night. He said, I have a sneaking suspicion you'll deliver the programming with money or without.
Well, okay, we're going to let you go then. Thank you very much for coming on the Local Paleo Show, and I definitely hope and wish for you all the success and the support you deserve to teach more kids about healthy cooking and getting those cookies out there. Thank you again, Chef Chris, for being with us today.
Yes, well, thank you for the invitation. I greatly appreciate it. And again, take a look at hipforkids.org, the new magazine, which features you prominently, and your original content that you helped us with this month is probably one of the better editions that we have done since the loss of our longtime board member and editor and publisher, Bob Bickle, who unfortunately passed away March 22nd this past year. That magazine is in honor, permanently dedicated to his memory. And I can't thank you enough for inviting me and helping Hip for Kids with that magazine.
It's our pleasure, I'm sure.
Yep. Thanks again, Chris. It's been wonderful chatting with you.
Thanks so much. Have a good afternoon now.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.